You gotta know God as creator. Everyone say, I need to know God as creator. Because if you know him as creator, you're gonna know how much value you have. You're gonna know that you're created with a purpose. Listen, I don't know what the story is with your parents. I don't know how it happens, but you are not an accident. Here's what God says, is that you were born for such a time as this. Yeah. Put up the first scripture, por favor. Isaiah chapter 43, we'll read a couple of verses. But now says the Lord, who, are you guys following along? Yeah. We'll try it one more time, right? But now says, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob. He's talking to his children. Jacob is not only a person, but he's a representation of God's people. Amen. And he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. God the Creator. You're mine. God the Creator. He's saying, hey, I'm the one who made you. You belong to me. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. I sweat a lot, so don't mind the rag. God's saying, you belong to me. I'm the one who formed you. If you know where you came from, you know where your valley came from as well. God's the one who created you guys. The very first thing we need to know about God is that he is our creator. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 139. We'll read a few verses. This is beautiful. It's beautiful how God just, he doesn't just stop at Genesis where he says, I created them in my image. But God is a God of detail, and he tells you how he did it. You guys want to see it? Yeah. Psalm 139, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Oh, you guys feel it? You guys feel that? I'm feeling it. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought. Wrought is a past tense of worked, or work, by the way. Not wrought, like R-O-T. That's not. Someone say old school. And skillfully wrought or made in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my absence being yet unformed. Oh, you saw me when I was ugly, God. And in your book, they were all written. What was written? The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. See, God, when he created you, he gave you value. When he gave you value, he gave you purpose. You guys know that? You know that? Well, now you know. Now you know. God took the time to personally form you. He took the time to write down in his book, Fred Rudemekin, day 346, he's going to do this. Day 1,500, he's going to do this. He planned all of your days. He's the one who's giving you purpose. We're going to talk about this later, but actually, no, I won't ruin it. Say amen. Amen. That's right. Say amen. Everyone say B. Aggressive. B, aggressive. Letter B. Know him as king. When we see, when Jesus comes, everyone, all the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were the religious rulers of that time. And when Jesus came, they were so excited. Or not when Jesus came, but they were waiting, they were anxiously waiting for the Messiah, because they thought the Messiah was going to be a political leader. They thought he was going to come, overthrow the Roman government, and establish that, yeah, the Jews, the Hebrews, they're going to be the ones in power, and we're going to be the ones in control, and we're going to do what we want to do. That's what they expected. And Jesus came in and completely flipped it upside down. Completely. It was not an earthly kingdom, but it was the kingdom of God. It was a spiritual kingdom. Amen? Amen. And in a kingdom, there is a king. You guys getting something yet?
Yeah.
If not, it's okay. I have plenty of more stuff to talk about. Go to Philippians 3:20. I love this. 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. So check this out. The Bible also says that God lets it rain on the just and the wicked. See, God is good no matter what. Everyone say God is good. And he does good things. The Bible also says that everything good comes from the Father of lights. Everything good that anyone has came from God. Anything and everything good came from God. But some people have it better off than others. How many guys can say amen to that?
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not fair. See, because just so God rains on the wicked and he brings rain to the just. But everyone say citizenship. There, so in the New Testament, Paul is preaching about Jesus, and people don't like that, and so they're about to arrest him, and they actually do end up arresting him, and they're about to scourge him. Everyone say scourge. Which means they're gonna get a weapon, they're gonna start whipping his back. And right before they do it, they're like, "Hey, are you allowed to do this to a Roman citizen?" And they're like, "What?" Like, "Yeah." And the guy's like, "You're a Roman citizen? How is that? I paid a lot of money for my citizenship." And Paul's like, "Yeah, I was born here. I'm a Roman." And because Paul was a Roman, he was able to escape, well, that time he was able to escape scourging. And instead, he had a right to a trial. I'm going to say trial. Ooh, I missed a step. Because he was a citizen. I'm going to say citizen. And so here, Paul is talking to the church of Philippians, saying, "Hey, you have a citizenship in heaven." Jesus consistently talked about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is at... Someone say hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you are a citizen of it. What does that mean? It means that everything that the kingdom of God has to offer, you have a right to. You have a right to it. You have certain rights as being part of the kingdom that people who are not in the kingdom have a right to. The other day, I was driving off the parking lot, and Antonio, what is this, Anthony? I call him Antonio. His car wouldn't start, and so I stopped, and I see him, like, you know, struggling, right? And so I get out of the car, and I try to help him start a car, and then he was like, "Oh, my gosh." I'm like, "What?" He's like, and he I don't know why. Is it a Prius?
It's a Focus.
Focus. It's a Ford Focus. I don't know why Ford Focuses do this, but you can't start the car unless you click the unlock button. I don't know why. And so he's like, "Oh, my gosh." I'm like, "What?" He's like, and he clicked it, and he's like, "Try it." And I turned it on. I was like, "Sir." Now, what's your point? My point is, if it was anybody else, I would help him. Now, let's say that his car actually ended up breaking down and he didn't have a car anymore. If he was a complete stranger, I would not offer him a ride to work every day. I would not offer him a ride to his grandma's house. That'd be weird. Don't say weird. But because he's in the kingdom of God, because we're in covenant with each other, because he's a really good friend of mine, I'm willing to say, "Hey, if you need a ride to work, I'll be there for you." Because he's my friend, he has certain rights. He has certain perks. Amen? It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. I know who the king is. I know who has all the power. I know who has all the authority. So if I want to say, "Hey, Lord, bless that person," or, "Hey, Lord, I'm kind of struggling with finances right now. Help me to be more smart with my finances. Help me to get a better job." You have direct, see, knowing who you belong to, A, is knowing who created you, who gave you purpose and value. Two, know him as king. Know that you have favor in your life.
Yeah.
Know that you have direct access to the king and that you're in his kingdom. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. Second thing. Not second thing. Continued. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God, I'm going to say the kingdom of God. Keep in mind, you are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. So everything we're going to talk about right now pertains to you. Everyone say me. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I don't know if you guys were here on Sunday when I spoke about legitimate Christianity and how when you look at the church of Acts, they would heal people and they would have signs and the signs and the wonders and people would be in awe and people would be amazed. And even Jesus himself, he said, "Hey, if you don't believe what I said, at least believe the signs that I do." And that must be us. Everywhere we go, these signs will follow those who believe. And if those signs are not following us who believe, then do we really believe? Anyways, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I'm going to say power.
Power.
So we'll go to Matthew chapter 16. We'll read a few verses right here. Oh, someone's going to get something right here. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Someone say Revelation.
Revelation.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who was in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." I don't have time to talk about this, but when Jesus is saying this rock, he's not talking about Peter himself. He's talking about the rock is the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a revelation. And that is what our church is founded on, knowing that Jesus is the Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Anyways. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Who's the church, guys? Everyone say me. I'm the church, right? We are the church of Jesus Christ. So check this out. "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "shall not prevail," we'll stay right here, "shall not prevail against it." Shall not prevail against it. See, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. But here's what I do know. I know a lot of people can probably testify to this, that when you started following Jesus and when you started making better decisions, your life got a little bit worse. When you finally say, "You know what, God, I'm finally going to start tithing," and like your finances just fell apart. Or, "God, I'm finally gonna be nice to this person," and they get worse. Am I the only one? Right? Isn't it like? And if anyone has told you, all you gotta do is accept Jesus Christ and your life will get better, they have lied to you. And a lot of us are living testimonies, right? That our life on the outside, I won't say on the outside, got a little bit worse. Here's the thing, though. Here's what I see. "The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Do gates move? No, right? Come on. This is not a trick question. I'm not trying to trick you here, okay? Do gates move?
No.
I don't think gates move. We'll talk later. Here's what I see. Everyone say, "Here's what I see." When you start making good decisions and when you start... we start making good decisions and we start following Jesus, you are going in direct battle with hell itself.
Amen.
See, there's so many people that they're so okay with their lives. They don't have Jesus, they don't go to church, and they are so okay with their lives. They are not coming against hell. They're not. But the moment that you start following Jesus, and the moment you start making good decisions, you are literally going into the enemy's camp and taking some territory. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, the church.
Amen.
You, the church. And so now that you're making good decisions in your family, now you're starting to take some territory. Now that you're being nice to some people at work, you're starting to take territory.
Wow. Yeah.
Now that you're starting to tithe, you're starting to gain some favor and some territory. Amen?
Amen.
And hell is going to throw everything it has against you to stop you. So if you start making the right decision and things get worse, this is why. Because hell is not happy with you. But the Lord in heaven, your King, your Creator, is happy with you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. I'm having fun, are you?
Yes.
Stop, stop, stop. Everyone say number C.
Number C.
C is not a number. So we need to know who we belong to. We belong to the Creator, we belong to the King, and now we belong to, we have to know God as Father. Everyone say Father.
Father.
Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Turn to five people and say, "Know him as Father," while I drink. All right. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." Next verse. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Next verse. "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yeah. Everyone say sons of God.
Sons of God.
See, we'll finish this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Yeah. See, here's what Father means. Here's what Father means to me. No matter how many times I mess up, God is always has his arms open for me. That because I know him as Father, it means I don't have to be afraid of him. See, if I only knew God as creator, I could be pretty afraid of him, right? Because I don't know who he is. All I know is that he created me. He gave me value, but I don't know anything about his character. If I know him as king, that can be kind of scary too, because if I disobey the king, ugh. But when I know him as Father, I know that he's for me. When I know him as Father, I know that I am his son. And I know that I'm loved. Amen?
Amen.
You did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When I was reading this, I was thinking, wait, I didn't receive the spirit of bondage, but I received the spirit of adoption. Wouldn't it make more sense that I didn't receive the spirit of, I don't have the spirit of bondage, but I have the spirit of freedom? I thought about that, and I was like, how are those contrasting? Why does it make sense that to not be in bondage is to be adopted? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But we need to know as God the Father, amen? Turns out, I don't have the scripture. I could look it up, but ask me later. But Paul says that God gave us the Holy Spirit as the guarantee that he's going to come back.
Amen.
Check this out. So during that time, a guarantee was not just by word. You know, a lot of people say, hey, I guarantee that I'm going to do this. And you have to take them at their word. Back then, a guarantee was actually a monetary deposit. Saying, hey, I'm going to come back for this, so I'm going to put money on it. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. God did the exact same thing with the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you as a promise that I'm coming back for you. We didn't talk about this, but we talked in our first scripture where we talked about God creating us. He said that I also redeemed you, and I called you by name, and you are mine. God literally paid for you with a price. He bought you back with his own blood.
Yeah.
Now that's a father.
Amen.
Point number two. Yes. I want to say leave the past where it belongs. I don't know about you guys, but I have some stuff in my past that I'm not particularly proud of. Do you guys want to hear a story?
Yeah.
It is. So I was like probably like 8 or 9 years old, right? And I live in San Gabriel. And I was walking down the street. My parents were like way behind me. And I'm walking down the street, and I'm approaching some apartments, and these are the apartments, right? And I see one of my friends, right? I see him like look, and I'm walking down the street, and he disappears. And so I'm walking, and I was like, I know what he's gonna do. He's gonna try to scare me, but I'm gonna scare him first. And so I'm walking, and I look through the first wall, and he's not there. I was like, okay, he's going to be at the next one. So I'm going, and I can't see around the corner, right? But I know he's there. So I go, and I'm like, ha! And he's not there. Don't ruin it. Shh, don't listen to him. They don't know what they're talking about. So I'm like, ha! And my friend's not there. But there's a very elderly lady there. She's just sitting there, minding her own business. She's smoking a cigarette. Guys, she didn't make a noise. All, Lord help me. All she was like, and I was just like frozen, like, and I just ran away. And I'm thinking, poor lady, like you're just there minding your own business, you know. enjoying the day, and all of a sudden, ah, this is how it ends. I don't know. The Lord rest her soul. So we all have things in our past that we're not proud of, right? I am not proud. I'm not proud of that. I'm not. I'm laughing, but I'm not proud of that. God is redeeming my past. He's using it for his glory. Breathe, Joel, breathe. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I want to say, leave the past where it belongs, which is behind you. I want to say behind you. Keep your heart, or other translations say protect your heart. Protect your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. See, the issues of life is this, is that wherever you go in life comes from the heart. And so God says protect it, protect your heart. Because once your heart is wrong, then your decisions are going to be wrong. And so you got to protect your heart from the wrong influences and from the wrong voices and from the wrong friends and from the wrong social media content and from the wrong movies and from the wrong music and from the wrong thoughts. Protect. I'm going to say protect. And so what Satan's going to do is he's going to come. Just for today, we'll talk about two things. Is that Satan comes, and one of the first things he does, is that he's going to bring guilt and condemnation concerning your past. He's going to say, you did this, and you did that. And even though you know God's forgiven you of it, Satan will go and he'll whisper in your ear. He says, hey, you cannot pray for that person because you sinned a week ago. Or God's not going to bless your tithe because you did that. He will bring guilt and condemnation to you to convince you that, one, you're not worthy, two, you have no authority, and three, that you really have no father who cares about you. He will bring guilt and condemnation to convince you that you are disqualified from having the advantages of being in God's kingdom. And he will render you worthless when you don't protect your heart from those things. Listen, the past is the past. Leave it there. Yeah. Put up the scripture, Mr. Raimundo. There's no scripture there? I am lost in my own mind. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Guys, there's no condemnation for you guys. See, here's what Jesus says, that you must be born again. Born again. You are a completely new person. And now you have seen the light, you have been awakened to the spiritual, and now you're going to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And you cannot allow things that happen in the flesh to hinder what God is calling you to do in the Spirit. You cannot allow mistakes that were done in the flesh hinder God's redemptive power to do amazing things in the Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Second thing, he will remind you of the pleasure of sin, not the death it brought. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Listen, guys, there is a cost. There's a cost. Here's the Bible says that the wages of sin is? Yeah. Actually, we're going to read it right now. There is a cost for ungodly pleasure, but there is a reward. There's blessings in godly obedience. Yeah. I'll say that one again. There is a cost to ungodly pleasure, but there's reward and blessings to godly obedience. Amen?
Amen.
By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. I want to say character. How many of you all want to get married? Right. Me too. But here's the thing. We need to discipline. Everyone say discipline. Because here's the thing. The pleasures of sin are so handy in this generation, in our society. It is so handy. But when God's trying to take you over there to meet your wife, and this is a road of discipline, you got to choose whether am I going to, quote unquote, suffer discipline and beat my flesh to get the blessing that God has for me, or am I going to take a shortcut and have the pleasure of sin leading to death? And that is the choice that every single one of us has every single day. God has set before us life and death. Every single day we need to choose life. And when we choose life, God's going to lead us to those blessings. God's going to lead us to those places where we want to be. But we need to beat our flesh and not enjoy the pleasures of sin. There is no doubt, and I'm sure, don't raise your hand, but I'm sure there is no doubt that we know that sin can be pleasurable. For a season. Here we go. Next scripture. On the same track as Moses. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11. We'll read up to 14. So check this out. So Moses, he left Egypt, and then God calls him back through a burning bush. Everyone say burning bush. He calls him back through a burning bush and says, hey, you're going to free the people of Israel from the captivity of Egypt. Okay? So I'm going to read this and I'm going to set the scene. Okay? Everyone say set the scene. Therefore, they, being the Egyptians, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. Next verse. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. Rigor means harshness, severity, and cruelty. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. I would not want to live that life. I don't know about you, right? Every single day, you and your children's children, all you do is you make bricks. For the rest of your life. They were in bondage for hundreds of years, guys. There's generations that didn't see freedom at all. Check this out. So Moses comes in, let my people go. 10 plagues, people die, and they get free, right? Not only did they get free, but the Bible says that there was none feeble among them. There was no sick, no one was weak, everyone was happy and chipper, and they leave, they cross the Red Sea, they see glorious things happen, and now they're in the wilderness with a bunch of money, by the way. Yeah. And look at what happens. A few chapters later, in Exodus chapter 16, the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Go to the verse before. I think this is funny in a really bad way. See, they don't remember the bondage. They don't remember the back-breaking labor. They don't remember their kids being murdered. This is what they remember. We had meat. We had pots. See, Satan's not going to remind you of the hell that you went through because of bad decisions. Satan's not going to remind you of the people that you hurt because you acted silly. He's going to remind you how good it felt. He's going to remind you how good you felt. He's going to remind you. Never mind, I won't go there. No, sir. When you look at your past, protect your heart. Protect it. Because God will remind you about some ex-girlfriends that you still have their number. Or you're still friends with them on Facebook. When you know you should have deleted their account, or you should have blocked their account. Block and delete. But you kept it there just in case you wanted to tell her about Jesus in a few years. I'm going to drink some water. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. That's a new thing. You don't drop. So here, it's funny because sometimes, and anywhere in the church, I'm not blaming anyone, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but sometimes people drop mics. And I think it's funny because every time a mic is dropped, everyone looks at me. Like, I'm like, actually, I think my media team, they look at me like, I think to see my reaction, to see if I'll be like, I don't know. So I'm starting a new trend. We're not going to drop the mic. We're just going to drink some water. Anyway, Philippians. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I'm going to say one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Amen? Amen. Forget those things, guys. You are a new person. You have been born again into God's kingdom. Walk in the Spirit, don't walk in the flesh. Pursue righteousness. Pursue it. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I have a third point, and I don't know what it was just weird. So this is what my third point is. What now? What now? Romans chapter 6, verse 16. We're almost done, guys. Thank you. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves? I want to say slaves. Slaves to obey. You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Wow. I'm going to say slave. Slave. I'm going to hit you guys a little bit hard with this one, okay? Is that okay? Yeah. Is that fine?
Yes.
Thank you. Feel free to leave the room if it's too much. Just kidding. You can handle it. You guys can handle the uncompromised word, amen?
Yeah.
And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We're gonna just keep that word in our mind, slaves. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. This is later in the verse. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. See, when you were in bondage, you were not free in righteousness. You were free of righteousness. Does that make sense? You were set. It means that there was no calling and there was no pressure to be righteous because you're in bondage. Next verse. What fruit? Oh, man. Back to my second point. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? Wow. This is what Paul's saying. Hey, when you were living your own life, making your own decisions, how did that work out? What came out of that? Oh, my Lord. For what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. See, if you guys remember earlier, I was like, why did he not give us the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption? Why not the spirit of freedom? Because there is no, quote unquote, spirit of freedom. Here's the thing. When you have been set free from bondage, you were set free from bondage to be a slave to righteousness. It's one or the other. There is no in between. You didn't become a Christian so you can do your own thing. That's not the freedom that we're talking about. He didn't say, I'm going to take you out of bondage and go live your own life. You have the spirit of freedom. Go do what you want. That is not Christianity. That is not. He said, you are no longer a slave to the ugly things that held you back. And now you are free to be a slave to righteousness, to be a slave of God. And listen, just before you think, oh, slave of God, that is horrible. Let me remind you who we are a slave of. You are a slave of the Creator who gives you value and purpose. You are a slave of a King who gives you power and authority. And you are a slave of... Can I finish? You are a slave of the Father who loves you. Now clap. So I'm going to change some things, all right? If you're taking points, if you're taking notes, I'm going to change the first point, okay? Point number one is know who you are a slave to. And point number two is know what you are not a slave to. Two more verses, guys, okay? Two more verses. It's okay. What do we have tonight, by the way? Taco salad. They're calling for us, man. They're calling. I hear them. Taco salad, eat me. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. We're just going to drive this in a little bit deeper, okay? Yeah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Check this out. This is so good. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Go back to the former verse. Having predestined us. He has set you free. He set you free from the hindrance of sin. He set you free from what held you back, the weights and the sins that ensnare us and that trap us. God set you free so you can fulfill what you were predestined to do. So that's why he didn't give us a spirit of bondage. He gave us a spirit of adoption to say, you are mine, now fulfill what I created you to do. Amen. So there is no in-between of spirit of freedom. There is no, and check this out. So there's a parable. Jesus says, there's a man and he had demons inside of him. And then pretty much, in other words, God came in, cleaned him out, but left the house empty. And more, and the demon came back with seven demons, more wicked than the others. And the state of that man was worse than it was before. When we get delivered from our sin, we need to pursue God. That's God set us free from that to fulfill what he predestined us to do. And if we don't fulfill what he predestined us to do, then we're going to go back the other way a lot worse. One more scripture, okay? One more scripture. Romans 8:28 through, actually, Ray, it's going to be verse 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God set you free according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we thank you for this message, Lord. I just thank you that we listen to the heart, that our heart rejoices when we say, I'm not a slave to sin, I'm a slave of God. I'm a slave to the King. I'm a slave to the Creator. I'm a slave to my Father. And I thank you that we say that with joy. Knowing that I want to be not bound in sin, but I want to be bound in righteousness. I want to be bound in blessings. I want to be bound in a fruitful life, expanding the kingdom and introducing people to Jesus. And I thank you that that is the prayer of every single person in this room. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.